Ja, gremo naprej, zdaj si pogledati, ne, zdaj naše vprašanje je, da brez tožnika ni sodnika, ne. Se pravi, mi lahko še tako lepo razpravljamo o šumu, gor in dol, ampak če tega zmerit ne znamo, ne bomo naredili nič. So, we can discuss about noise law, what noise is, how large this noise is, but if we are unable to measure our device, then we did really nothing.
No, kako bomo preverili, recimo, naš sprejem?
Mi bomo imeli en testni izvor. In na ta izvor bomo mi preklopili naš sprejemnik, ki vsebuje en ojačevalnik, ki ima ojačanje, ki ima neko šumno temperaturo, ki ima neko pasovno to, ne? Ki ima nek mogoče dekoder, ne? In zdaj, tukaj je zdaj naš sprejemnik, ne? Kaj se lahko pogovarjamo, da je tukaj pri sprejemniku? Lahko se pogovarjamo, da imamo tukaj, če je tu analogni, ne? Da imamo tukaj neko razmerje signal šum, ne? Ali pa če je številski, da imamo tukaj eno pogostnost na faksov. In testing our receiver, what can we do if it's an analog receiver, we can measure the signal to noise ratio of its output. With a digital receiver, we are probably going to measure the bit error rate of its output. And we have to connect everything to a test source. Things look simple on this diagram, but in really we have many problems here. Slikca zelo enostavna, ampak imamo neka vprašanja. Ne? Tukaj noter imamo zagotovo en vir, ne? In na to imam tukaj en nastavljiv slabec. Ne? Velikostni razredi, kakšni signali so kakšni, ta vir je v velikostnem razredu plus 10 dBm. Ne? Na vhodu sprejemnika imam približno minus 110 dBm, smo rekli za telefon je približno što reka. Ne? Kaj to pomeni? To pomeni prvo težavo, tole slabljenje tukaj mora biti v velikost nekako 120 decibelov. Ne? To je ena težava, ki jo imam, in druga težava, ki jo imam, je ta, kakšno temperaturo šuma vidim tukaj, na te stvari temperatura antene je koliko tukaj. So I have, assembling such a measurement, I have two problems. The first problem is how to achieve 120 dB of attenuation. I will probably need very good shielding here. Because achieving minus 120 dB of attenuation here, it's very difficult. 120 dB is a very large. From the 10 dBm from the generator, this is where nonlinear electronics works, to the minus 110 dB that we need at the input of the receiver. The first question is our generator really able to supply what we asked for? Is this really minus 120 dB? There is no leak to radiation. We may have problems that this source here actually radiates power directly into the receiver. When we are talking about minus 120 dB, if this were 10 dB, is no problem, but minus 120 dB, we already have problems with shielding. Is this source shielded enough? ta vir dovolj oklopljen,
da ne bomo preko sevanja dobili signala na vhod sprejemnika na mesto skozi slabec. To je prvo vprašanje. Drugo vprašanje je, kakšna je šumna temperatura tega vira, kakšna je šumna temperatura naše navidezne. So the second question is this source really performing as an antenna? What is its internal noise temperature? So this, we could talk about T generator here. Temperatura generator. A ta v resnici ustreza temperaturi antene. Ne? To ni samo po sebi umevno. Ne? So this is not self-evident that these things do hold. Zakaj ni samo po sebi umevno? Zato, ker viri ni nujno, da so dovolj oklopljeni. Niso vsi viri oklopljeni. So not all sources we have in the lab are shielded enough to test the signal. This is the first issue. We have to use a source, a signal source that's really shielded enough so that it's not radiating any of the power, that everything that comes out only through the output connector and not anywhere else. And not all the sources are shielded enough. For instance, a source that is not shielded is a function generator. Funkcijski generator, ki je master laboratoriju, ni nikoli oklopljen. Function generators are never shielded. You cannot use a function generator for this purpose here. Because function generators are never shielded. Tudi šumna temperatura je vprašanje. Zakaj je šumna temperatura vprašanje? Ja, če imam jaz tako vir, ne, tukaj, ne, pa imam recimo tukaj zdaj slabilnik, minus 120 decibelov, ne. Jaz, kar vidim, šumna temperatura, ki jo vidim noter, temperatura generatorja, je praktično temperatura okolice je 290 Kelvin. So, if I have a source like this, that has a huge attenuator here, what I see is the noise being produced by this resistor. So, this kind of source can be used to test receivers. We know its output temperature is 290 Kelvin, but we have many sources in the lab that are designed like this. Imamo dosti virov v laboratoriju, ki so načrtovani na ta način. Da je tukaj en nastavljiv slabec, ampak da je tukaj še ojačevalnik, ne? No, in zdaj, če imam jaz tukaj noter temperaturo okolice, ne, in imam tukaj ojačanje, in imam še tukaj temperatura črtica tukaj, ne, ta temperatura, ki jo vidim tukaj noter, ne, je dosti, dosti večja verjetno od temperature referenčne, ne. So, if I have a signal source that actually has an amplifier on its output, this noise generated in this attenuator here, will be much amplified by this amplifier before reaching the output. So, such a source will have a very high noise temperature. I cannot use this one to test receiver. Se pravi, kadar preskušamo sprejemnik, moramo biti zelo previdni, kakšen vir imamo. While testing receivers, we have to be very accurate about what kind of receiver, test source we have. Not all test sources are useful. We have to use a test source that especially made for receiver. That's enough shielding that we know its output temperature. We need this data and we need this data. We need two different data to test a receiver. People don't know that. Ljudje ne vejo tega, vzame funkcijski generator, pa našrafejo vrh sabec, ne? Pa mislijo, da bojo dosegli, ti majka signal, ne? Funkcijski generator ni nikoli oklopljen. Pa je čevalnik na vhodu, izhodu. Ja, ne gre to, ne? No, mi bi jasno radi poskušali najti postopek tudi kako izmeriti posamezne gradnike, ne celega sprejemnika. Ne? Tukaj smo zdaj gledali, bo končni preizkus celega sprejemnika, radi bi posamezne gradnike tukaj izmerili in radi bi pogledali, kaj si lahko prvošlo. Tukaj, so we would like to measure the individual components, not the whole receiver, or just the analog part of the receiver, without resorting to expensive test equipment. This is expensive. If I have this requirement and this requirement, this is 30,000 euros minimum.
30 teorije, tak je težko. Hočemo poiskati en bel preprost način, kako bi lahko preizkušali naše stvari. Ne? Hočemo poiskati način, recimo, kako bi ne izmerili imeli končen rezultat, pač pa kako bi izmerili samo temperaturo šumosa. So we are not interested in the final result, but we are interested, say, in the noise temperature of our precision. How to measure just. No, zdaj, da se narediti določene stvari, če pogledamo. Da se narediti, na primer, to, da jaz vzamem en upor, ki se nahaja na temperaturi okolice. Ta upor zdaj priklopim na mojo verigo, ki ima ojačenje, ki ima temperaturo sprijemnika, ki ima tukaj pasovno sito. In zdaj pasovno širino B in tukaj imam dovolj moči, da jaz lahko merim moč. Ne? So if my test device has enough gain so that I can measure the power at its output, this power is now, ta moč je zdaj G krat B krat KB krat temperatura upora in temperatura sprejemnika. Ne? Pravi, ta upor mi tukaj daje. Tu, ne? Ja. In zdaj, če jaz poznam vse ostale veličine, lahko načeloma zračunam temperaturo sprejemnika. So, if I know all the other unknowns in this this circuit, maybe I can measure the temperature of my receiver. What is the bottom line here? Kakšen je zdaj zaključek te zgodbe? Rade Švart je tu poskušal na najnovejšem networku narediti, ne? Ker analizator vizi načeloma zna meriti ojačanje in zna meriti pasovno širino. So Rade Švart tried to do that in their newest network analyzer. We have it available at a very expensive system. 200,000 euro. With the network analyzer I can measure gain and I can measure bandwidth. Very accurate. So if I can measure these two, I know the Boltzmann constant, I know the temperature of my load. I can measure the T-receiver. Tu naj bi se dal narediti tako po navodilih od Rode Švarca. V praksi tu ne gre. V praksi tu ne gre, zakaj? Zato, ker ta je netočen in ta je netočen. Both of these are inaccurate. We know this, but they are not known to an accuracy high enough to find out the source. We have the equation, but these are not really unknowns. We know something about the gain, we know something about the bandwidth, but we don't know them accurate enough to measure the temperature. So this is not a valid measurement. Rode Schwarz says it can be done, but we tried it and it can be done. It's not a good way to measure my figure. So we remove this one. What can we do? Else. Kar bi radi naredili, radi bi pokrajšali te dva ven iz naše enačbe. No? In kako bomo to stvar naredili? Z enim trikom, ki se mu reče vroče hladno. In order to remove the unknowns from our system, we're going to use the hot-cold method. What is this? I have two resistors, imam dva upora, ki imata oba upornost R, ampak ta je na temperaturi T1 in ta je na temperaturi T2. In zdaj ta dva upora bom jaz preklapljal med vhodnimi sponkami mojega sprejemnika. I'm going to switch these two resistors on the input of my receiver. Lepše moram napisati. To je položaj stikala 1, položaj stikala 2, position of the switch 1 and 2, and here I have my receiver. Tukaj imam moj sprijemnik, ima ojačenik, ima temperaturu sprijemnika, ki ima pasovno sitost, pasovno širino P, in tukaj na izhodu merim moč. Ampak zdaj merim jaz dve moči, merim P1 in merim P2. Ne? P1 je stikalo v položaju 1, P2 je stikalo v položaju 2. So I'm measuring two powers now, one with the switch in the position 1, so the first resistor is connected to the input, the second time the switch is in the lower position, the second resistor is connected to the receiver. The resistors have the same ohmic value, enako upornost imajo, ampak so pa na različnih temperaturah. The receivers, the resistors are at the same resistive value, but at different temperatures. Kaj dobim ven? Ja, lahko si zapišem, da P1 je zdaj G krat B krat KB krat temperatura 1 in temperatura sprejemnika in P2 je G krat B krat KB krat T2 in temperatura sprejemnika. No, tukaj še nič novega. Ampak, če jaz naredim razmerje obeh moči, so taking the... Nothing now, new really here, but it, if I take the ratio of the two powers, P2 over P1, I also frequently call this ratio with the letter Y. Z veliko črko Y napišem tu. Tukaj imam pa zdaj G krat B krat KB krat T2 in temperatura sprejemnika, ne? Deljeno z G krat B krat KB krat temperatura 1 in temperatura sprejemnika. Kje je zdaj? Trik tukaj, trik je, da se neznanke pokrajšajo. Tukaj imam T2 in temperatura sprejemnika, z T1 in temperatura sprejemnika. So the trick here is that all the cumbersome unknowns exactly cancel out when I take the ratio. If I take the ratio, the gain cancels out, the bandwidth cancels out. This is the trick of the hot cold. No, in kje lahko zdaj naredim? Zdaj lahko jaz stvari izračunam. Ne? Če to enalbo poskušam rešiti, ne? Y, moja enalba, kaj je ostala, je T2 in Ts deljeno za T1 in Ts. Ne? Enalbo moram rešiti za Ts, ne? Se pravi Y krat T1 in Y krat Ts je enako T2 in Ts, ne? No, če enačbo obrnem, Ts, tukaj imam y minus 1, je enako na drugi strani, T2 minus y krat T1, oziroma neznana temperatura sprijemnika je zdaj, v števcu imam T2 minus y krat T1, deljeno z y minus 1. Ne? To je bilo tisto, kar smo hoteli izpeljati. Se pravi, temperaturo našega neznanega merjenca dobimo, če poznam obe dve temperaturi, T2 in T1, in če poznam razmerje moči Y. So, if I turn the equation around, the unknown temperature of my device under test here, TS, the temperature of the receiver, can be calculated from the temperatures of the two loads, and I know this temperature, I can measure this temperature. And the factor y, the ratio y between the two powers. All the other unknowns cancel out of this ratio, so this is the great thing here. Really. The hot cold method may really cost nothing. This is the reason why equipment manufacturers don't like it. Torej, proizvajalci merilne opreme ne marajo postopka vroče hladno, zato ker je lahko to zastojni, ne? Ker če zastojni ne bojo nič prodali. So they are not going to sell any test equipment if we do this. How can we perform the hot-cold method at home? Kako naredimo postopek? Vzamemo anteno in to anteno zdaj priklopimo na naš sprejemnik. Ojačanje, temperatura sprejemnika, pasovna širina in tukaj merimo moč.
Anteno prvo usmjerimo u hladno nebo.
And the cold sky and microwave frequencies may have T1 of just 10 Kelvin. But we can estimate this pretty accurately from the known graphs of the microwave. Tutaj bym prosił za to, że točno ocenit jest... To je točno se da ocenit iz grafu koji imam. Na mikrovalovnih frekvencijah je tu pa nevada oko 10 Kelvina, ne? So this is frequency range 1 to 10 GHz. But this is usually the range. Naslednja stvar, anteno obrnemo v eno tarčo na Zemlji. In tu moramo tarčo, ki ima zelo nizko odbojnost. Kakšna je tarča, ki ima najnižjo odbojnost? Drevesa. Smreke. So the best target, actually to turn our antenna, are trees. Trees, if they are dry, not today. Today they are not dry. Se pravi, če imamo suho vreme, da so drevesa suha, imajo odbojnost skoraj nič, se pravi, to je črno telo. They are a black body at radio frequencies. At a temperature that's, say, between 280 and 290 Kelvin. Temperatura, ki je 280 Kelvin. Lahko gledamo vremensko napovedo, pogledamo, kako je temperatura. So we can look at the weather report and see what the temperature of our trees is on today's people.
Pa so listavci res tukaj izničile, ali sami
glavci? Pine trees are better than trees with leaves. So pine tree is better. This one is gamma really equal to zero. This is only approximately pine tree. Pine trees are much better than... They have the same shape of the absorbers. You saw the absorbers in the lab. They have the shape of pine trees. Okay? Is that clear why pine trees are better? So this method really costs nothing. Ta postopek res ne stane nič in tu lahko zmerno liste, ki imate spremnik, obrnete anteno in pogledajte, kaj je, in lahko vse zračunaste, kar vam srce poželi. Ne? No, z...
A pa to, ko v nebo usmerimo, gledamo to, a to lahko tudi podnevi, ni problematično.
Ja, samo ne v sonce, ne?
Mi, ampak atmosfera nič ne vpliva na...
Nekaj malo ima, ampak tisti malo atmosfera mogoče doda še. So the atmosphere may be at very low angles, maybe at some 10 or 15 Kelvin. So the troposfera lojdo da se do 15 Kelvin, ampak pre niskih kotih. Opravljamo antena vam, ne? So we turn the antenna up in the sky to have the shortest path from the troposphere. So troposphere has almost nothing here. Kar nam lahko doda tukaj, so what is a possible source of errors here is are the side lobes of this. If we have a satellite antenna like this, if this is a dish, this is a feed. So, radiation coming from here is okay, but radiation getting into the spillover is bad. This is at 290 Kelvin. Se pravi, antena taka, zrcalna antena se žarilcem, je problem, 7 je žarilca prekorova. So the spillover of the feed here is a problem. In order to get good measurements, horror antennas are best here. Se pravi, lijaki so najboljše antene, ker nimajo stranskih snopov in z lijakom res dobite nizko temperaturo. Lijake sta antene, ne? Pa nevadi, zrcala so pa slaba, ne? Zrcala so slaba, zato ker vidijo tla tukaj. So, parabolic antennas with the primary feed are not a good choice because of spillover of the primary feed that sees the world ground. While if we use here a horn antennas have a very low side lobes. Also, if you look at history books about radio astronomy and discovering the cosmic noise background, they always use the horn antenna. Zmerno so uporabili lijakasto antene, lijake so uporabili, bez oblike lijake so uporabili za ugotoviti sevanje nebesnega ozadja. Ne? Ampak tu ne stane nič. Ne? This really costs nothing. We have tested the whole system and we know how it behaves. Also in the whole system, why it costs nothing? Zakaj to nič ne stane?
Zato, ker nas ponovadi ne zanima sam temperatura našega sprejemnika, nas ne zanima celotna temperatura sprejemnega sistema. Nas zanima tudi, koliko te svinjajo tukaj. Ne? Zato, ker te v resnici niso naš mirjen signal, te so sestavni del našega sprejemnika. So, the spillover temperature from the dish, usually we are not interested in just our receiver. We are interested in how our whole system performs. What is the G over T of our whole system? And in the whole system, this noise contribution from the ground is really part of our receiver, it's not part of the measured object. So it's okay to have it in the equation. No, če pa naredimo v laboratoriju, zdaj te stvari ne moramo vsak dan čakati na lepo vreme. Pa drevesa so nam lahko požagali, ne, kar je tudi problem, pa antena je treba obračati, radi bi imeli nekaj, da lahko na mizi mirimo. So, in order to make measurements in the lab, we would like to have some kind of noise source that is really closed in the lab. There is no need to go outside, that we don't have problems with weather, that we don't have problems if our trees are wet, or we don't have problems if someone cut down our trees, then we cannot do that. Kako naredimo laboratorijski vir? So, laboratory source may be one resistor at the temperature of liquid nitrogen at 77 Kelvin. Pri 77 Kelvin na sobni se pravi, gremo k elektronikom in ukrademo malo tekočega vodika, da mi zvrha buča, kaj ima predbajto, ne? So we go to our guys with electronics, they have a huge container of liquid nitrogen here, and we put one resistor in the liquid nitrogen. So we have T1. The other possibility, of course, is to have a resistor at room temperature. And uporimo malo k nasobni temperaturi, ne? In eno formo tudi se grevamo. In ga lahko se gremo na dokaj visoke temperature. Recimo, primer tega upora je, da jaz imam z eno baterijo, preko ene dušilkice, se grejem zdaj žarnico, in tukaj poberem ven šul. So this is a filament bulb. A light bulb, I can heat this, the filament of this light bulb through a choke, an RF choke, with DC current. And this may be a resistor at up to, say, 2000 Kelvin. The filament of a light bulb can be heated up to 2000 Kelvin without burning the light bulb. And we can use this resistor as a noise source, and you are going to do this experiment in the lab. So we will, not this, but next time we have the experiments in the lab, we will do this experiment with a light bulb, heating the light bulb with DC current, and measuring the noise that comes out of the filament of the light bulb. The filament of the light bulb may produce quite an amount of noise, because it can be heated much above the 290 Kelvin. Nitka žarečke, ki jo se grejemo z enosmernim tokom, ima neko upornost, ampak ta upornost je 20 Kelvin, ne? Žarka žarečka svete, ne? Tako da ta stvar je izvedena. No, en šumni vir, ki ga imamo tudi tukaj, še za više temperature so fluorescentne žarnice, ne? So these fluorescent tubes we have up here on the roof of this room, they are excellent noise sources. Because a fluorescent bulb, when the bulb, the fluorescent bulb is heated up, this is a fluorescent bulb, and we have ionized guys here. A fluorescent bulb, like on the top. This ionized gas behaves as a resistor, and this resistor is at a temperature of about 20,000 Kelvin. Ioniziran plin se obnaša kot upor pri 20 Kelvin. Tako da, tu je lahko vir šuma, no? In tukaj sem vam prinesel dva taka vira šuma, nista glih z to je sobno svetilko narejeno, ampak notri je glih taka žarnica, ta cel je postavljena pod kvotem v valovod. Ne? No, ta je za višjo frekvenco, ta je zaprt.
So this is actually such a test source, laboratory test source, built with something like a fluorescent tube. Here we have one open, so that you can see the tube inside, to lahko vidite cel vnotr, kako je postavljena pod kvotem. Cel je postavljena pod kvotem, tudi je odbojčik manjši. Ne? Če lahko spravi kvotem veliko odbojče, gremo po širno, je odboj od takšne cevi majhen. So the light bulb is actually put at a very shallow angle here, so that the reflection of this bulb is the smallest. Kadar je cel ugasena, je tu preprosto valovod, signal, ki pride tukaj vnotr, gre tukaj ven. Kadar je cel užgana, imamo pa tukaj upor, ki se obnaša kot slabilec in slabilec seva. So when the light bulb is off, this is just a lossless waveguide from here to here. When the light bulb is on, turn on, this is an attenuator at 20,000 Kelvin. This is the trick to make a noise source. Tu je zdaj celoten vir, ne? Tukaj imamo eno valovodno breme na sobni temperaturi, so this is actually a waveguide load at room temperature, and here is the attenuator that you can turn on or off at 20,000 Kelvin. Tukaj vnotr ta je pa 20,000 Kelvinov vir, ne? Tako da rečemo tukaj z užigom in ugašenjem te žarnice lahko naredimo šumni vir. Ta žarnica je ugrajena pod kotem v valovod. Pravi, če jaz zdaj rišem celotno napravo, ta naprava zvela tako, ne? Tukaj imam valovod. Valovod ima na eni strani tako breme iz absorberja. Sam zdaj ga ni videti, ker je zaprto. So, it's not visible, but it's all. We have the absorber here. At 290 Kelvin. And we have also the light bulb here. The filament with the plate, and this one has gas inside, and this gas can be at the temperature when on. The temperature is T2 is around 20,000 Kelvin. Se pravi, takšen vir preklaplja med T1 in T2. Tu so zgodovinske naprave, so these are history sources, they are no longer being used today because it's much easier to make a solid state source. Dosti lažje narediti polprevodniški šumni vir, tako da danes v glavnem, kar uporabljamo, uporabljamo platovno diodo. So what we use today as a noise source, there are solid state noise sources, and what we are using an evaporator filter. Plazovni preboj. Kdaj se zgodi plazovni preboj? V silicijevi diodi, v silicijevi zenerci, imamo plazovni preboj pri U zener je večja od 6 voltov. Običajno v teh šumnih virih se uporabljajo zenerce za 18 voltov. Usually, avalanche diodes for breakdown voltage of about 18 volts. These are just standard Zener diodes are good for this. And a Zener diode operating at breakdown produces a noise temperature, T-hot, of about 1 million Kelvin. Tukaj dobimo milijon Kelvinov brez karkoli, kakšnekoli težave. No. Tako zenerco ponavadi napajamo preko dobro pred upora in preko tuljave iz enega vira, tukaj in ta vir je ponavadi 28 volt. 28 volt. This is usually, this noise head is usually supplied by 28 volt voltage source, and here we have our temperature 1 million Kelvin. Je to sicer odvisno od diode, ni samo po sebi umirjeno, se pravi, ne moramo se zanašati tako, kot z našim drevesem in z našim nebu, ker pogledamo v tabelce in pogledamo, koliko je temperatura neba in koliko je temperatura dreves. Ne? tukaj treba ta stvar umiriti. So, unfortunately, the noise originating in an avalanche breakdown dial is going to be just a standard Zener dial. It's not calibrated, you have to calibrate this source, but this noise is very, very strong. Ta šum je zelo, zelo velik, no? Kar ponavadi imajo takšne šumne glave, je še tu, da imajo tukaj umirjen stabilnik. So such noise heads have a well-calibrated attenuator at the output. So that here we have maybe T2 in the range of 1000 Kelvin, and T1 is of course 290 Kelvin. Take šumne glave največkrat imajo tu, da je gornja temperatura približno 1000 Kelvin, spodnja temperatura 290 Kelvin. Ne? Spodnja temperatura, če tukaj jasno tale vir vključim ali pa izključim. Ne, tukaj. On or off. In the off state we have noise temperature of this attenuator, low. And in the on state we have this million Kelvin attenuated by the attenuator. The attenuator is in the range here of 30 dB. Slabilnik je približno v velikosti. In takšna šumna glava je zdaj danes lahko v laboratoriju, laboratorijski merilnik, zato ker se ta to stvar zelo preprosto preklapla. To stikalo lahko klopno in sklopno 1000 na sekundo, pa navadi je tukaj 1 kHz. Ne? Lahko tu dosti pogosto preklapljamo in na ta način mirimo, lahko mirimo v realnem času, lahko mirimo, se pravi, postopek vroča hladno, se pravi, ta faktor Y ga lahko zelo hitro izmirimo. So, being a complete electronic source with no moving parts, like here we have to move that, then, this switching can be done very quickly. Usually frequency is 1 kHz in standard equipment. So, we can actually measure our noise very, very quickly, so we can use this noise measurement say, to adjust our circuit to optimize it for the best performance. Right? Tukaj lahko oglašujemo naše vizije, ne? Pa gledamo, koliko nam meritnik kaže. Ne? Kako imamo zdaj takšno meritev postavljeno? Jaz moram zdaj malo to prisati tukaj stvari. Bomo te stvari imeli v laboratoriju. So, we are discussing about the measurements to do Monday in the laboratory. Zato, ker je ta meritev toliko gosta, si je meritnik tudi že pripravljen, zato, da tu počne, tako da imamo že pripravljen vse pripravljeno in našo meritev začnemo za šumno glavo. Ta šumna glava dobi 28 voltov, ne? For a noise head, I draw here, this noise head is getting a power supply of 20 volts. In zdaj na šumno glavo preklopimo naš merjenec, ki ima neko ojačanje merjenca, neko temperaturo merjenca, ne, sprejemnika. Ampak zdaj ta merjenc ponavadi ni cel sprejemnik, tako da še ne moramo meriti moči, mi moramo imeti še nekje nek zunanji merilnik. No in imamo inštrument, ki ima še tukaj ojačanje merilnika, ja, žal tudi on šumi ima temperaturo merilnika, ima pasovno sito, ki ima neko pasovno širino, in ima nastavljivo osrednjo frekvenco, kdo se lahko nastavljamo, ne? No, in zdaj mirimo moč tukaj. Moč. In mirimo moč tukaj, mirimo moč, s tem, da jaz zdaj ta podatek peljem na eno vezje, da bom nekaj računal tukaj in to vezje zdaj upravlja tudi z mojo šumno glavo. Ne? To je ponavadi nič voltu ali pa 20 voltu pri 1 kHz. No, in tu je zdaj naš merilni instrument. So, our measurement setup looks like this. We have a noise head, a calibrated noise source. We have our measurement item, and we connect this to a special piece of test equipment that's basically a receiver. It has some additional gain, it has a tunable bandpass filter that can be tuned to different frequencies to select the frequency where we want the measurement. It has a power meter, and this power is processed by a computer. And this computer is responsible here for giving us, say, the ratio of two powers. And the computer is also steering the noise head, turning on and off the noise head. So, the computer measures P1 and measures P2 and computes the ratio of the two powers. So, sorry for the mistake here. Usually we draw the second measurement in the numerator and first measurement in the denominator of the ratio. Ponavadi pišemo zmeraj P1, nižjo moč damo imenovalce. Y ponavadi zmeraj pišemo this. Factor Y is usually always taken as larger than 1. So we put the larger power, the higher temperature on top, and on the bottom we put the lower power, the lower temperature. Ja, ampak če jaz vse poznam, lahko tukaj ven dobim tudi neposredno temperaturo merjenca ali pa šumno število. Ne? So this computer actually from the factor Y, solving the equation we had here, the equation for temperature of the measured item was T2 minus Y, T1, Y minus Y. To je enač, bo lahko računalnik reši, lahko računa neposredno temperaturo merjenca. Če poznamo tukaj temperature, ne? Tukaj smo rekli T1 je 290 Kelvina, ne? T2 je jasno več kot T1, ne? No, en tak podatek, kako temperature zapišemo, je tudi excess noise ratio. So one way to write temperatures is also the excess noise ratio of our head. This is 10 times logarithm to the base of 10, T2 over T1. Podatek šumne glave je tale NR, excess noise ratio, ne? Se pravi, T1 vemo, da je sobna temperatura, ne? To je ta nič, ne? T2 je pa odvisen od tega šumnega izvora, od plazovne diode, na tako ga imamo tako šumne izvora, ne? Se pravi, šumne glave ponavadi niso specificirane kot gornja temperatura T2, ampak so specificirane kot NR. Noise heads, laboratory noise heads are usually not specified as the two temperatures because we know the lower temperature, we just don't know the higher temperature, but they're expressed as a ratio in decibels between the high temperature and the low temperature. And this is excess noise ratio, this is the data of the noise head. Of course, we have to calculate back T1 and T2 to put them in our equation. Jasno moramo preračunati nazaj temperature, ne? T1 in T2, ne? Da jih dobimo, ne? No, se lahko bi tudi to sam rekel takoj, ne? Preprosto. TS je, če je T1 enak T0, so je T1 is equal to the T0, and this is excess migration, minus y, y minus 1 times T0. Na tak način lahko dobimo. Oziroma, šumno število, ne? Šumno število v decibelih, ne? Je 10 krat logaritem, desetiški, ne? Pa temperatura spremlja gledeno staničjo, kar krajšamo ven, ne? Se pravi, imam tukaj 1 in y manj 1, tukaj je 1 r, ampak ne v decibelih, manj y, ne? This excess noise ratio is as a linear unit, so this is 10 to excess noise ratio in decibels divided by 10. So we have to convert it to linear ratio to use the equation. Na tak način lahko na preprost način računamo stvari naprej. Ne? No, tisto, kar je tukaj narodno, je zdaj tudi, kar smo mi izmerili. So what I wrote right now here has a problem. What we really measured was TS prime. And the way we have here it, TS prime is actually made out of the TS of our measurement type. Plus the second stage, and the second stage is temperature of the receiver divided by gain of the measurement type. Se pravi, na ta način mi smo zmerili, ja, temperaturo smo zmerili, ampak smo zmerili celotno temperaturo našega sprejemnega sistema. To je pa naš merjec in še naš merilni inštrument, ker ta merilni inštrument ne more imeti temperaturnega merilnega inštrumenta enake nič. Ne? In zdaj, če merjec nima neskončno velikega ojačenja, ta temperatura merilnega inštrumenta se prešteva tukaj zraven. So, the drawback of this kind of measurement is that we are actually measuring not the noise temperature of noise figure of our test item alone, but we are measuring the whole chain. We are measuring our test item plus our laboratory receiver. And the temperature of the laboratory receiver is not zero. So we are making actually a mistake. To avoid this mistake, there is a very good trick. The trick here is to perform calibration. So to connect our noise head directly to the receiver. What is it good for? Kaj je ta tu umirjenje podobno? Uporabnost. Pri umirjenju bomo mi dobili še dve dodatne moči. So with calibration, we are going to get two additional powers, P3 and P4. In zdaj dobimo štiri moči, pravzaprav, P3 in P4, ki lahko zapišemo, koliko so. Brez merjenca. So with no test item, we get P3 and P4. We get gain of the test equipment times Boltzmann constant, times bandwidth times Boltzmann constant, times here T1 plus T of the test equipment. And here we get gain of the measured item times bandwidth times KB times T2 plus T measurement equipment. Kar zdaj počnemo pravzaprav mi s tem umirjanjem, mi izmerimo naš merilnik. So with the calibration we measure our test equipment with P3 and P4. Na to priključimo merjenec, then we connect our test item and we measure P1 and P2. Let's draw now P1 and P2 what they are. P1 in P2, kaj ste zdaj? Zdaj bomo pa imeli ojačanje ojačevalnika, ojačanje merjenca, pasovna širina Boltzmannova konstanta. In tukaj imam T1, T2, ne, če bila šum na glavo, ostane T1, T2. In tukaj temperatura mirenega sprejemnika, TS, ne, in tukaj temperatura merilnega inštrumenta, doljeno z ojačanjem merjenca. Temperatura merilnega inštrumenta, doljeno z ojačanjem merjenca. So, when we connect the test item, we get P1 and P2. For the temperature we see, and the temperature we see the temperature of the noise head, we see the temperature of the test item, and we see the temperature of our measuring equipment. What is now the trade-off? We have four measurements. Imamo štiri meritve, P1, P2, P3, P4, kar nam da štiri enačbe. Four equations. What do we have in these four equations? In these four equations, we have four unknowns, if we take this as an unknown. This, or this. Imamo štiri neznanke. Four unknowns. These four unknowns are the temperature of the test item, the temperature of our instrument, the gain of the test item, and this product, gain of measuring equipment times bandwidth times Boltzmann constant. This taken as one unknown. Imamo štiri enačbe in štiri neznanke, če tako merimo. Mi pri umirjenju dobimo moči P3 in P4, potem pa med meritvijo dobimo P1 in P2. Ne? Iz štirih enačb se da rešiti za štiri neznanke. Kakšna je prednost zdaj take meritve? Prva stvar, zdaj lahko dobim točno temperaturo mojega sprejemnika, brez napak tukaj. Ne? Ampak izmerim tudi ojačanje mojega sprejemnika. Se pravi, sem dobil še en podatek več. So what is the advantage of doing things in this way? The advantage is that solving these four equations for four unknowns, we can measure accurately the temperature of my receiver. Of my test item. But I can also measure the gain of my receiver. So this is a method to measure gains of devices. We also have the function of a network analyzer. Tukaj imamo tudi funkcijo analizatorja vezi, izmerili smo tudi ojačanje sprejemnika smo izmerili. Tako da tukaj vidimo zdaj, da če gremo umerjati naš merilnik, lahko z njim merimo čuda stvari pod pogojem, da je software tukaj v redu. Ne? If the software can do that, then we can measure this thing. Edina stvar, kar je narodno tudi med P1 in P2, oziroma med P3 in P4, lahko preklapem elektronsko. Žal, ta preklop ni elektronski, tukaj treba šraufati in to je počasno. So, one drawback of this measurement is that the switching between P1 and P2 is electronic, we turn on or off the electronic noises. Also, the switching between P3 and P4 is electronic. But this calibration here, so switching between these two equations, this equation, this is mechanical. We actually have unscrew connectors, screw connectors again. And this is time consuming. Not just that it's time consuming, it also adds an additional problem here. Ne samo da je tu zamudno, pač pa nam doda drugačen problem. Kaj pa če se med tem ojačanje tega spremeni? What happens if the gain of this receiver changes in the time limit? Then we are in big shit. Tukaj smo res težavah, če se je temo jače ne spremenilo. Ne? Kakšen je protiukrep? Protiukrep je tu, da tega užgemo zjutro in ga potem cel dan ne ugašamo. So the countermeasure is very simple. The system turns on this instrument in the morning and then in the afternoon you come to the lab and do the experiments. If you turn this instrument off, če tega ugasnete, ima asistent od mene zapičeno, da vam mora dati nič točk za prevajo. So, if you turn this one off, then you're going to cause big troubles for the people that come after you to the same experiment. So, the assistant should give you a grade of zero if you do this. Because you don't understand the measurement. To pomeni, da, da meritve ne razumete, če tega ugasnete, ne? Če mi gledate tega ugasnete na vajo, pomeni, da meritve ne razumete. In zaradi tega dobiste nič točk. Tu ima asistent ukazano. Tega bo asistent užgal zjutro in ima, da je užgan cel dan. So this one, the assistant will go, will turn this one on in the morning, and it has to be stay on all the time, not to change its temperature, not to change its gain inside. Because this is a critical item. Dobro, če bi bilo samo tu, da imamo toplotno odvisnost, ne bi bile stvari toliko hude, ne? Mi imamo, se pravi, zakaj potem, če, kdokar sem napisal na tablo, če sam temperatura odvisno, se lahko naredimo bolj sprijemnik tam, ki ni toliko odvisno od temperature, tudi ta naš, ki ga imamo v laboratoriju, ni tako slab. Takšen sprijemnik bi ga lahko uporabljali na mesto analizatorja vezi, ker znamo meriti ojačenje. So, if this setup, besides its problem with temperature stability, here everything has to be kept under laboratory conditions, is also able to measure the gain. That this thing can replace the network analyzer. And that the network analyzer costs 200,000 euros. I can save 200,000 euros by this simple instrument. Why are we not doing this? Zakaj tega ne počnemo? Če upamo se. Ja, težava je še nekje druge, kar jaz nisem napisal še ta trenutek, ne? In težava je v temu, da mi tukaj mirimo na ključne signale. So our problem lies in measuring measuring random signals. And that's a big problem. Why? With a deterministic signal like a sine wave, it's sufficient to know one period of the sine wave and we know everything about the sine wave. To the accuracy we want. Se pravi, če bi imeli determinističen signal, recimo sinus, mi pomerimo eno periodo sinusa in o sinusu vemo vse. Odvisno koliko natančno merilno opremo imamo, ampak o sinusu vemo vse. Ker pa merimo na ključne signale, mi vse, kar lahko zmerimo, je povprečno. So, measuring random signals. Kakšna težava pridemo? Težava je, da jaz merim samo povprečje moči. Everything I can measure is the average power. I cannot measure the the power instantaneously. Instantaneously noise may have any value. U trenutna veličina šuma je lahko poljubna vrednost. Jaz lahko vse, kar lahko da merim neko povprečje. Ne? No, in zdaj, če gremo pogledati, kaj pravi statistika, naše kolebanje rezultata, deljeno z povprečno vrednostjo, je sorazmerno ena z kvadratnim korenom iz števila meritu. So, our deviation, this is root mean square deviation, srednje kvadratne odstopanje, ne? From the average power, measuring a totally random signal is proportional to 1 over the square root of measurement. This is This is the number of measurements n. Koliko neodvisnih meritu pa lahko naredimo v takšnem sistemu? Ja, jaz tukaj integriram en čas tau. Ne? In tukaj imam pasovno širino b, no in število neodvisnih meritu, the number of uncorrelated measurements is equal to the bandwidth times the measurement time. Se pravi, odstopanje naše meritve, ne, bo zdaj ena iz korenem iz pasovna širina krat čas integracije. So the deviation of our measurement from the mean value, from the average value, is equal one over square root of bandwidth times the measurement time. No, zaradi tega, ker je tu točnejšo meritu dobimo za večjo pasovno širino, vzamemo to pasovno širino veliko. V našem merilniku gor je ta pasovna širina 4 MHz. So in our test receiver is bandwidth is take as long as practical. This is 4 MHz for the receiver we have in the lab. The measurement time, merilni čas, če imamo tukaj 1 kHz, ne, tu pomeni pravokotnik, ki je tukaj nič celih 5 milisekunde spode, nič celih 5 milisekunde zgore. Ne? Se pravi, smo rekli, za naši podatki, so za naš merilnik, pa so v naši širine 4 MHz, tau, čas meritve, čas ene meritve, ene same meritve je pol milisekunde. So for our receiver, if we have 1 kHz square wave, we have half a millisecond off and half a millisecond on. Half a millisecond T1, half a millisecond T2. Koliko pride potem ta stvar tukaj, ne? Se pravi, število meritev tukaj je 4 krat 10 na 600, sekunda na minus 1 krat 500 krat 10 na minus 600 sekunde, 500 mikrosekund. No, in tu zdaj je 2000. Se pravi, za naš primer tukaj bomo imeli 1 za 2000, korijen iz 2000 je približno 45. Ne? So this is approximately for our receiver 1 over 45. Z drugimi besedami, sprememba moči je zdaj približno 2,2% povprečne moči. Ne? Kar je, tu je srednje kvadratno odstopanje, ne? To smo se nejasni, to je mišljen, temu bi lahko rekel tudi srednje kvadratno odstopanje, per sigma bi lahko pisal. Ne? So this is a root mean square value of the deviation. We usually write it in sigma, mathematicians usually do this. In to odstopanje je zelo, zelo veliko. Ne? To odstopanje je zelo veliko, tako da tukaj bomo morali ta čas povprečiti. Boste videli v laboratoriju, ena stvar bo treba tukaj, ta tau bo treba dati nastaviti na en m krat tau ena. Ne? Se pravi, bo treba povprečiti m merico. So you will see in the lab that the instrument already has averaging built in, and the very important thing is here to choose the correct averaging factor. We will see next hour where are the limits for this averaging factor, what we can afford in a laboratory measure, and how does it affect the accuracy of the final measurement. Vidimo, kako ta stvar vpliva na končno meritev, zdaj naredimo odmor.